Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Out of the blue, there came a man named Savage. In the heart of liberalism, he held up a cross to the vampires of the left. And they became worse. And they produced a monster. They produced a Frankenstein in the White House, who is now threatening to use executive order to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal alien criminals. A man who knows no bounds, who has no limits. The left is out of control. When the White House was asked, they would neither confirm or deny the meetings about amnesty for illegal aliens via a Hitler-like executive order. So we know that such speech has been taking place. We know that pandering to the illegal aliens and the goon squads that represent them have been going on. The dictator knows that even the corrupt Congress we have won't vote for amnesty. So Obama has been plotting with Big Sis, Napolitano, and Eric Holder to go around the Congress, around the people, and simply declare an Obama amnesty, Obamnesty. Big Sis and the Department of Homeland and Security estimated last year that 11 million undocumented residents live in the U.S. Now, if Big Sis admits that it's about 11 million, that means it's 30 to 40 million. So let's assume that at a bare minimum, there are 30 million illegal aliens in the U.S. This would mean that Obama automatically gets 30 million new votes for November, canceling out the 30 million people who have realized in the last 2 years that he's become a baby dictator. So with the slash of the pen, Obama negates your vote, takes your job, and destroys the Constitution. And you did it. You did it to us. Andrea Mitchell did it. Puffball did it. You want me to give you the list of the 10 most dangerous people in America? I've given you two. There are other topics. Monday was Meg Whitman stabbing voters in the back. Meg Whitman, billionaires, who invented eBay, ran on a platform of opposing illegals. Now she came out over the weekend with a Spanish language ad saying that she is a supporter of illegal immigration. Tuesday, Robert Gates, defense secretary, who says that there's no such thing as terrorism. Tuesday, Stanley McChrystal, persecuted. Wednesday, fired, replaced by Petraeus. It goes on and on. We talked about McChrystalnacht on the Savage Nation. McChrystalnacht, the article is still up on michaelsavage.com. And as the nation goes, so goes the culture. Borders, language, culture has been basically the rules of the Savage Nation since 1994 when I began. By the way, let me take a side note with you today. Many of you don't know whether talk radio is going up or going down. You wouldn't know it from the media because they'd like you to believe that the audience has gone away. Nothing could be further from the truth. Statistics don't lie. I'm posting it right now on michaelsavage.com. I just got them this morning. There is a whirlwind circulating in the radio business today about Michael Savage jumping 800% in ratings on a local station in San Francisco. And I have the data to prove it. Here's a station that has virtually no promotion. It's 99% baseball. I'm preempted half the time. And despite all of that, my numbers have gone through the ceiling. The cum is through the ceiling, both in the afternoon drive and in the replay the next morning. And I'm putting the data up. And I want to do that to put away the lies that people don't listen to radio, they don't listen to talk radio, they've gone to other things. That's total bullcrap. That's part of the government media complex. The audience has never been bigger. Here's the proof. It's on a station that has no promotion for me, virtually no promotion. and I'm surrounded by baseball, I'm preempted by baseball, and the audience has found me. How do you explain that? Because they're thirsting for the truth. As John Burroughs, the 19th century naturalist, said, if you bait your hook with your heart, the fish will always bite. As Ernest Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. And I'm not talking about a ringtone. I'm talking about the Savage Nation. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Any of these topics that I mentioned is fair game. And I know many of you are basically beaten up by Obama. You're not afraid of him, but you know who he is. You know that he's a junior Doc Duvalier, and he's only waiting for the right moment to become Papa Doc Duvalier with absolute power. And the meatloaf in the Republican Party, the meatloaf in the Republican Party fundamentally is not there to protect us. If we had a two-party system, we wouldn't be as concerned, would we? But we know that the oligarchs actually agree with Obama. We know that the oligarchs and the Republican Party are one and the same as Obama. We know that Obama is fundamentally simply their dictator du jour. The dictatorship of the presidency is a product of the monopoly of the two-party system. That's why the Tea Parties have grown. Now, I don't have an answer for you about the junior Doc Duvalier, other than I do a daily show. I have a new book coming out in October. That's sure to explain it all to you and tell you what you can do about it. But right now, what do you think you're going to do about it? Do you think even a 10 million man march would help with junior Doc Duvalier? I don't know. I don't know what he's liable to do. Things have happened in this country in the past that you don't even know about. There was a time when presidents shot protesters. You don't know that, do you? Do you know that after World War I, the veterans came back and there were no benefits for them? And they had no money, they had no jobs, no housing, no nothing. They camped tents in front of the White House in a tent city, and they wouldn't leave. The president at that time ordered the military, if it wasn't the National Guard, to fire on returning American troops, and they shot many of them dead in the streets. So if you don't think, well, let's put it to you this way, don't have a glorious picture of what America is and what it could become. Don't delude yourself. When you have criminals like Bonnie Frank and Christopher Dodd grabbing a piece of the economy in a way that they just did today, anything is possible. Now, here's a guy, Chris Dodd, as corrupt as they come in the eyes of millions of sane people. Chris Dodd of Connecticut gave $52 million of stimulus money to an Indian gambling casino. And today he stole the banking industry and the Wall Street industry, him and old Bonnie Frank, America's number one deviant. They passed another law grabbing even more power. Again, like there's no constitution, like there's no government, like there's no people, like there's no checks and balances. Just two of the most devious people in the American government just did what they wanted. So I rest my case. Many of you are agitated. You don't know what to do. You're perplexed. You don't know what to do. And rightly so. You don't know what to do when you have a situation like this, which is government anarchy. This is government anarchy. Make no mistake about it. So I'll take your calls. Let's have some rock and roll, and I'm going to take some calls because the last thing I need is a return of the laryngitis. 1-800-449-8255. Let's see. Let me play a rock and roll song. What's this? Oh, darling, you send me Sam Cooke. If only I was 17 years old again. Darling, you. What fun I'd have tonight in someone's finished basement. My God. All those girls today, they're in transfusion trees and walkers if they're still living. Somewhere shuffling around Boca Raton stealing meatballs from and Sweet and Lows. Can you imagine what time and gravity does to people? Time and gravity. You know, the Obama administration should actually give me the Presidential Medal of Freedom for being one of the last voices of the American people. They should look up to me and say, you know what? We don't agree with the word he's saying, but we respect the right that the man has the guts to say it like it is. We're going to invite this guy to the White House and show the people that we appreciate dissension. Yeah, right. Junior Doc Duvalier really loves dissension. He's really used to it. Junior Doc Duvalier is really used to dissension and debate. Oh, Junior Doc just loves it. Chicago, Bill, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, I'm a cab driver in Chicago, and you're on my radio every night when I'm driving my cab. and I'm responsible for at least 20 new listeners for you.
You know, it's funny. Cab drivers, some of them have the nerve to play talk radio in their cab. Do you ever get any super libs, like Obama libs, Obama maniacs, who tell you to turn it off?
They tell me to turn it down, but they're not telling me to turn it off. Or they can get out in the cab. They can get out to the next corner.
Oh, Bill, I'm sending you a free copy of Banned in Britain for your taxi. Thank you for calling. You know, it's funny. I was in a the other night I went out late. The Green Hornet needed to get out late. I just couldn't take one more humdrum night. So I stayed out very late, and I wound up in almost an all-night like steam table in San Francisco. I've been there forever. And the line was very long with Eurotrash primarily, and all the locals couldn't get in. Well, the Eurotrash read about it, and they it's fine. They know where to eat. So the Eurotrash are online, you know, with the green fingernails and the purple hair, and they're all waiting, whatever. And I'm on a long line, so in front of me is a big black guy about 6'5", and he and I started to talk. We didn't know each other. He doesn't know who I am. And we're just talking about the corned beef and the this and the that. And then behind me is a guy about 6'7", like a looming giant. And I said to him something about the line, and he says to me, he says, it's because we have a generation of narcissists. They don't even know how to wait online properly. He said their parents were like children. They're like children. And he starts talking about when he came back to Vietnam, and he's a cab driver in the city for the last 30 years. You know, one of the great, great people of San Francisco, the ones you never hear from, the average person, the real person, the average person down on the streets is where you're going to get the truth. And by the way, I didn't discuss politics with either of them. They could have been libs for all I know. I didn't care. I just liked the people. All right, what do you want to talk about? 1-800-449-8255. My 800% jump in ratings in San Francisco. Obama being Junior Doc Duvalier. Seizing power on a daily basis. I don't have a dog story. I laid in bed last night saying I wish I had a dog story for them. They all want to hear about Teddy. Other than he's a beautiful animal and better than most people, I don't know what else to say. There's nothing that's not trite about that. We all think our dogs are better than most people. That's why we have them, right? It doesn't mean we hate people. It's just that we know. That's all. I remember standing outside a restaurant in North Beach in San Francisco about a year ago when I was a little more outspoken than I am today. And I was just, you know, basically having a little fun with strangers. You know, standing there with the dog. See, he's a cute 10-pound poodle. He's really he looks like a little teddy bear because he's not trimmed like a poodle. I got to tell you that. He's got his full hair, and he looks like a bear. So that's why we named him Teddy Bear. The children just love him. And some couple is standing. They must be in their mid-50s. And we start to chat. Oh, what a cute dog. What kind of dog is he? The usual, you know. So I said, you know, lady, you know what's the nice thing about dogs as opposed to children, or what's better about dogs than children? She says, what? I said, no inheritance. They can't become junkies, okay? And you're not going to wake up one night with them standing over you, drugged out of their mind with a knife over your head. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Come with me, my high love, to the sea of love. I want to tell
all right, it's the Savage Nation. So here's a new study. You see, we have a dictatorship right now, not only of a minority within a minority, but a dictatorship politically in the country that's never been seen before. A new survey comes out based on a Gallup poll. Last I learned it was a pretty moderate poll. But it's a Gallup USA Today poll, which is extremely centrist. And it says, in 2010, conservatives still outnumber moderates and liberals. You wouldn't know this from the vermin in the media, would you? You wouldn't know it from the Bolsheviks on television, would you? Gallup finds that 42% of Americans describe themselves as either very conservative or conservative. That's up slightly from the 40% seen for all of 2009. And it contrasts with the 20% calling themselves liberal or very liberal. So you have a minority called liberals, which is no more than 20%, if that. And within that liberal group, you have the progressives, who are communists, who has a junior doc dictator in the White House who is seizing power on a daily basis against the will of the American people. It is a violation of the entire structure of the government, the entire setup of the United States of America, and frankly, the liberals should be the ones who are most outraged by this. But they're not, because they don't care. They never did care. The progressives are revolutionary communists, as you well understand. They say, by all means, they're violent. They're evil. So the conservatives sit here like Mr. and Mrs. America. Oh, well, why don't you do anything about it? I'm telling you, if you let this clown continue to get away with what he's getting away with, you're going to wake up a year from now without a country. I think that the Tea Parties need a David, a King David. There is none. We need one central figure to unify the Tea Parties and come out and bring 3 million people to Washington Mall and have a march on Washington and scream and yell and take the country back from this petty dictator. When you see gangsters like the Democrats today, criminals, most of them, outright gangsters, stealing the money, raping the treasury, stealing our freedoms, and nothing happens, they're only getting bolder. They're like the Taliban in skirts. I swore I wouldn't get on the air and get mad today. I swear I wouldn't get angry because I feel my throat is going again. I can only do so much. I can't do anymore. So the conservatives outnumber the liberals by a huge majority. Rise in conservatism following a decline seen after 2003, while liberalism has experienced the opposite pattern, with liberals dropping in great numbers, according to the Gallup USA Today poll. And we're stuck now with a communist president who fundamentally is a dictator in his own mind. And we don't even have an opposition party to speak for us. So now I'm going to rest my case. Let's go to San Diego. Ali, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. It's an honor.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a quick... I'm a Muslim American of Iranian descent. I'm 31 years old, and although I don't really agree with everything you say, I do have to say one thing that I wouldn't let my station change. You're probably the only person on the air there right now that's speaking the truth and consistently has. You know, it's from the Bush era to now. You're consistent, and even I'm not to knock anybody else.
I hear you, Ali. We don't have to knock anybody. The fact of the matter is, in order for evil to prevail, good men need do nothing. And I'm afraid too many good men are doing nothing.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so.
It is the Savage Nation. Ratings up 800% in my local San Francisco affiliate. Thank you very much for supporting the program nationwide. Conservatives rule across America except in one place, and that's in Congress, where a dictatorship has emerged of the minority extreme liberalism that we see wrecking our freedoms, stealing our economy, stealing our future. How is this possible? The answer is because this is nothing new. The government has long been a dictatorship in one form or another. I know many of you don't want to understand that. You don't want to accept it. But right now, you're just seeing the real face of the government as opposed to the benign smiley face. And you haven't seen anything yet. Freddie is waiting in reserve. The real Freddie is about to emerge. Wait until you see what Papa Doc does next. I want to tell you about another time in America because many of you don't know it and you're going to be shocked by this. I want to take you back to World War I veterans who protested in Washington, D.C. in spring and summer of 1932. They were called the Bonus Army, 43,000 marchers, 17,000 World War I veterans and their families. And the news media called them the Bonus March, the Bonus Army. And the veterans wanted immediate cash payment redemption of their service certificates so they could live. The war veterans, who have been out of work since the beginning of the Depression, sought immediate cash payment of the certificates granted to them 8 years earlier via the Adjusted Service Certificate Law of 1924. And so they had a face value on the certificates, but the government said that they matured 20 years from the date of original issuance, so therefore they couldn't be redeemed until 1945. On July 28th of that year, U.S. Attorney General Mitchell ordered the veterans removed from all government property. Washington police met with resistance, shots were fired, and two veterans were shot dead. President Hoover then ordered the Army to clear out the veterans. The U.S. Army's infantry and cavalry were supported by 6 tanks and commanded by Army Chief of Staff General MacArthur, later president. Dwight D. Eisenhower was his liaison. And Major George Patton led the cavalry. The Bonus Army, their wives and children were driven out with fixed bayonets and gas, an arsenical vomiting agent. Their shelters and belongings were burned to the ground. Two more of the veterans and an unknown number of babies and children died. After Franklin Delano Roosevelt's election, his wife Eleanor urged members of the Bonus Army to apply for work with the WPA, building the overseas highway to Key West. Several hundred veterans were later killed in the September 1935 Florida Keys hurricane. I guess Al Gore wasn't around yet. Congress overrode a Roosevelt veto in 36 to give the veterans their bonus 10 years early. A little snapshot of American dictatorship, rather than the Hallmark card that you have about the past. Okay? The little Hallmark card about how America was in the past. All Obama is doing is bringing us back to the worst pages of our history, by the way. And maybe he'll make it a little even worse than that. He's certainly not even worse than what you just heard, is it? He's just bringing you back to the worst pages in American history. He'll write another dark page in America's history. That's what's coming. So there we are, 1-800-449-825 on michaelsavage.com. Hey, let's have some rock and roll. I mean, it's too serious for these people. They don't want to hear about McKristallnacht. They don't even know what Kristallnacht is. Devil or angel. You want to be a devil or an angel?
Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find. Devil or angel, dear, whichever you are, I miss you.
High Times at White House High. They're having a good old time, all of the boys from Harvard. Having a good old time skateboarding around the West Wing. Blowing bubbles to each other, shooting squirt guns on the lawn, while wrecking everything in sight. And yet, Gallup poll says conservatives still outnumber moderates and liberals by a huge majority. 42% of Americans describe themselves as very conservative, and 20% call themselves liberal or very liberal. And yet, who's running the country? It's completely out of touch with the American people. If we had a legitimate government, there would be a call for an election. He would be thrown out of office for having been so far out of step with the American people, and we would take our country back. But since the gang that can shoot very straight indeed is running the country, you're never going to see any such thing as democracy in the next 2.5 years. You're not seeing it, my friends. And if you think this is bad, you're right, but it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Let's go to the callers. Sir Donna San Diego, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I look forward to listening to you every day. And I just wanted to bring up a point that I haven't heard being expressed yet about the Jones Act, if that prevents the foreign vessels from entering our waters, you know, that prevents us from getting the skimmers from the Dutch to clean up the oil spill. Then why?
Is that why the Russian Navy was permitted to visit San Francisco the other day? Yeah, they're still there. 163 years is the last time they were here.
Right, and there's three Japanese warships and one Russian up there, and 7 months ago there were two Russian subs off the coast of the East Coast. And then why is he having hamburgers with the Russian president? What are they talking about?
I don't know. I guess that they've reset the relationship, according to Hillary Clinton. There's no problem with Russia. Russia's our friend now.
I like it.
No, Russia's our friend. Ask Obama and Hillary Clinton. They're all our friends. Chavez is our friend. Castro is our friend. Everyone's our friend except the American people. The only friends that are not permitted in the country are conservatives. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New York, Katie, you're on the Savage Nation. Today's Girls' Day on the Savage Nation. Katie, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you for Girls' Day. My kid brother is a high-ranking military officer who had been with General McChrystal and is still there. They had no cognition whatsoever that he had any of these issues. The only way they found out in headquarters about it was through my sister-in-law sending them emails telling them what had happened.
Yeah, McChrystal was not fired because of a few benign remarks from his staff that appeared in the junkie magazine Rolling Stone. He was fired for other reasons. And I have laid out some of those other reasons on the show over this week. And I believe that I am closer to the truth than most people in the media would like to believe.
Well, I do believe that you are, and, you know, these are very dedicated individuals. They are peacekeepers, And they want war no more than you or I.
Right. Of course not. They, of all people, know what it is to see a friend's life expire in front of their eyes, as opposed to the pot-blowing boys from Harvard who are skateboarding around the West Wing. I know you're choked up, and I appreciate it. That's right. They understand it. They understand that it's a no-win situation in Afghanistan. No one even knows why we're there. Now, this is not a conservative or a liberal, progressive, or a right-wing issue. Nobody knows why we are in Afghanistan. Nobody. Nobody. I've spoken to active military who fly planes off carriers. I'm never going to mention names. Never. These are the best and the bravest. They don't know what their mission is. I mean, they do what they're told, but they have no idea why they're there. Nobody knows why they're there. Nobody understands why we're there. It's like with the Hessians. It's like an army for hire that the Arabs hired us to protect them, protect Saudi Arabia, it seems to me. The Saudis said, send your military in to keep them from getting a foothold there in Afghanistan because we'll be next. They'll overthrow us. Maybe it's that. We're the Hessians of our time. But you're not going to read that anywhere because that would be embarrassing. Instead, you got to believe that it's about the flag and country and your grandmother's, threatened. Hey, did you hear this story, what the police did to an 85-year-old grandmother? You know, it's getting crazy. We're talking about Obamnesty and such stuff, and that's all great and frightening. But there was an article that came out. I lost it already today in the stack. Oh, stuff. An 85-year-old grandmother somewhere in Oklahoma. Well, I'll have to get it for you after the break because it's beyond comprehension how police like this. Here it is. It's up on Michael Savage, by the way. It's called Don't Tase My Granny, and it appeared in Lou Rockwell's column. Lonnie Tinsley of El Reno, Oklahoma, made a nearly fatal mistake last December when he went to check on his grandma, Lana Vernon. Concerned that Granny Lana hadn't taken her meds, Lonnie called 911 in the expectation that an emergency medical technician would be dispatched to the apartment to evaluate the bedridden 86-year-old woman. Instead, that call for help was answered by nearly a dozen armed tax feeders employed by the El Reno Police Department. Understandably alarmed and probably more than a little disgusted by the presence of uninvited armed strangers in her home, Lana, remember she's 86, ordered the cops to leave. This directive, issued by a fragile female octogenarian confined to a hospital-style bed and tethered to an oxygen tank, was interpreted as aggressive behavior by Officer Thomas Duran, who ordered one of his associates to taser her. "Don't tase my granny," exclaimed Tinsley, according to a lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court. Tinsley's obstructive behavior prompted the police to threaten him with their tasers. He was then assaulted, removed from the room, thrown to the floor, handcuffed, and detained in a police car. At this point, the heroes in blue turned their attention to the grandmother, Lana. The tactical situation was daunting. At this point, the police had only a 10-to-1 advantage over a subject who, according to Duran's official report, had taken an aggressive posture in her hospital bed. And the sacred imperative of officer safety dictated that the granny be thoroughly softened up in order to minimize resistance. Accordingly, one of the brave officers approached Lana and stepped on her oxygen hose until she began to suffer oxygen deprivation, narrates the complaint based on the granny's account. One of the other brave officers then shot her with a taser, but the connection wasn't solid. A second fired his taser, striking her to the left of the midline of her upper chest and applied high voltage, causing burns to her chest, extreme pain, and unconsciousness. The granny Lana was then handcuffed with sufficient ruthlessness to tear the soft flesh of her forearms, causing her to bleed. After her wounds were treated at a local hospital, Lana was confined for 6 days in the psychiatric ward at the insistence of her deranged assailants from the El Reno Police Department. It has been established that the worst thing to do in an emergency is call the police. In this case, Lonnie Tinsley didn't call the police, yet they barged in anyway and quite nearly helped his grandma to death. I posted it on michaelsavage.com because I couldn't believe this was true. Unfortunately, there's a lawsuit that says it is true. I'll be back.
Savage.
You are at the hop with Michael Savage. You can rock it, you can roll it, you can dick it, yep, So it's Friday evening, it's Friday afternoon, and you got nothing to do. You got a long weekend ahead of you with boredom and horrendous anxiety over Obama and what he's liable to do next. And the smiling oligarchs who are liars through and through. Here's an example. Ted Turner, who is one of the zaniest left-wingers in American history, always coming up with another crackpot statement, one after the other. You'd say, well, he must be a flaming, man of the people. Turns out today that Ted Turner tops the list of the biggest landowner in America, the list of the biggest land baron in America. He owns three Rhode Islands. His ranch is the equivalent of three Rhode Islands. Texas oilmen used to talk about their wealth in terms of units, as in 100 million. Billionaire Ted Turner owns just shy of three Rhode Islands, including the spectacular Vermejo Park Ranch, straddling the border of New Mexico and Colorado, which at 590,000 acres, or 920 square miles, would cover a substantial portion of the state of Rhode Island. Turner's other U.S. holdings include ranch land in Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas, as well as a 30,000-acre hunting preserve in Florida he calls home, totaling 2 million acres. Turner tops the list of the nation's largest private landowners, compiled by Forbes. Now, the interesting part of the story is not that he owns the land, because that's his business. He bought it. He paid for it. He bought it. He didn't steal it. The question is, why is he a radical lunatic, a left-wing lunatic? What you don't understand, and what most people find hard to understand, and what it's one of the biggest disconnects in American, in the American psyche, is they can't understand why most of the billionaires are Marxists. They don't get it. They assume that when you say a communist or a Marxist, you're talking about people who really, really care about the poor and the downtrodden, and that they really want to see the wealth redistributed to the poor. What they don't understand is that these oligarchs, like Ted Turner, are the opposite. They want all the power in the hands of only a few people, with virtually no vote by the people, no power to the people, no guns to the people, no freedom of speech for the people. In other words, they would like to see a return to serfdom so that they can be the true barons of the past. We can go back to a medieval situation where there were landowners and peasants. Don't you understand how it works? And so they put a guy in like Obama as their personal messenger, in essence. He does what they tell him to do. Why do you think the oligarchs came out like Murdoch and the others, and they want amnesty for illegal aliens? Why would the oligarchs want amnesty for illegal aliens? Why would such billionaires want that? There's a number of reasons. You can pretty much figure it out by now. It's been a couple of years since we've been talking about it. They want amnesty for illegals so that they can have the labor force that no longer exists in America. I mean, I've heard it said, yes, if the illegals go home, the citizenry will do their jobs. No, the citizens won't do the jobs that the Mexicans will do. Let's be real. I've worked around Mexican people for years. They're the finest workers I've ever seen in my life. They're strong. They're good people. I mean, the fact is, they're good people. I have no problem with the working people from Mexico. I've said this 1,000 times on this show. It's not a change of heart all of a sudden. It's not the working people that any of us object to. It's not the family values that we see coming from south of the border that we object to. After all, you look at the churches, your daughter's not in the church, is she? She's looking for a new pair of shoes. So she's not even married. She has a puppy instead of a child. But the Mexican people, they get married and they have families and they take care of their children. You've heard my eloquent piece inside Kentucky Fried Chicken one Sunday. Remember that beautiful piece? When I went there one day on a Sunday alone to have some chicken, and I saw a young Mexican laborer with his wife and his three children were dressed in pretty little dresses. They had just come from church. I said, there's the future of America. It was really heartening to see. It was a beautiful story in its own way. I mean, I see reality, by the way. None of us have a problem with the working people from Mexico or Guatemala or El Salvador or Nicaragua. No one does. No sane person has a problem with that. We have a problem with the fact that one third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. Why are they in prison? Because they didn't come here to work. They didn't come here to get married and work. They didn't come here to raise children and work. They came here to commit felonies, violent felonies in most cases, and they were caught and they were put away. So until we deal with the felons, we can't even talk about immigration reform. The first step has to be to deport all of the felons. But that's not going to happen because the prison unions want the felons in prison. At $60,000 a pop, think of how many different families are feeding off the prison system in America. We have the largest per capita number of prisoners in the whole world. We have a larger number of prisoners in the United States per capita than China does. Did you know that? The last I checked, there was 1.1 million people behind bars. How is that possible? Freedom, I. You're only a, you, everyone listening to the show, including me, is one mistake away from a jail sentence. We all know that. That's why we've all become cloistered. That's why we all withdraw into ourselves and rarely leave the house. I'm not alone. I know this. People are afraid of this country right now. They're terrified of the government's power. They're afraid of the police. They're afraid of the government. They don't trust the courts, etc. Now, if that's a free country, I'd like to know what a prison country is like. So where are we going with this? What do you think is going to happen? Now it's alleged that Obama is going to grant with the pen stroke amnesty to all the illegals, including the felons. Well, pull that one off. I don't know how it'll begin. I don't know where it'll begin, but I think that that could be the shot that's heard around the world. Maybe he wants that. I sometimes think that he had to declare martial law just before the elections. I sometimes think they're trying to trigger the crisis of crises, the mother of all crises, in order to declare martial law and have a banana republic at long last, where he can be the supreme commander of everyone without any checks and balances. So be very, very careful of his motives. I don't trust this administration, do you?
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation broadcasting live from the late great state of California. California, once the greatest state in the union, and now a sad sack with a begging cup, owing to 30 years of liberal tyranny. From Jerry Brown to Arnold Schwarzenegger, it did not make a whit of difference. The liberal mindset has destroyed this great state. Savage jumps 800% in San Francisco. That's right, on my local affiliate. My local affiliate, 860 on the dial. The numbers have jumped 800% since I started, both in the afternoon and in the repeat in the morning. So it shows you that there's a listenership for this kind of talk. You say, oh, well, you're in a minority. No, the latest Gallup poll shows that I'm actually in the majority. That the conservatives and very conservative people in America are the majority. By 42% is the majority, and liberals are only 20% of the electorate. But you would think if you turn on MSNBC, everyone's a radical left-winger. Turn on CNN, you think everyone's a fan of Karl Marx. They are the minority. They represent a small number of extremists who have jury-rigged an imposter into the White House who is stealing our freedoms on a daily basis in the minds of 30 million people. Now, I've said this over and over and over and over again. You wake up today and you're shocked to see the deviant Barney Ross, whatever his name is, Barney Frank, and Chris Dodd, who just gave $52 million of stimulus money to an Indian gambling casino, stealing even more power for the presidency. and you say, I mean, what country am I living in? Where the hell is the opposition? Why doesn't somebody take this bill and take it to the Supreme Court so it can be heard by another body of people? I don't know the answer. I thought that there was a Supreme Court. Where did they go? What are they busy doing, playing miniature golf somewhere? Where are they? 1-800-449. Let's see what's on the Savage Nation website. Taliban endorses Petraeus. Remember yesterday I said they must be celebrating? I woke up. I couldn't believe it. They threw out McChrystal, and they put in Petraeus. Petraeus is a good man, but he's not the man that McChrystal is. McChrystal is a hard-charging warrior type. Petraeus is more of the calculating backroom general type at this stage of his career. Taliban endorses Petraeus, says the new chief not smarter than McChrystal. And now they're saying great. They look forward to it. They even mocked that he fainted during a Senate hearing. I don't know whether they listened to the show or not. I don't know. Administration weighs bypassing Congress to let illegal aliens stay. It's unbelievable to me how they can get away with this. Now, if Obama pulls that stunt and goes to Big Sis and they grant legal status on a mass basis to illegal aliens and the Republicans don't do anything about it and take it to the Supreme Court, you'll know that you're living in a dictatorship. It's all a fraud. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Conservatives still outnumber moderates and liberals, according to Gallup. And wait, here's another shocker. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, says that the greatest threat to our country is not the Taliban, but debt. The interest on the debt. That's suddenly his problem. When have you ever heard a military man talking about an issue like that? It's unbelievable to me how the lines have been blurred under this administration. Now it's all a scam. House and Senate steel deal on financial reform. Steel deal. Oregon doctor plans suicide house. The website lists a host of fees, including a mandatory $600 for the Stay at Dignity House and a mandatory $600 for end-of-life camera, which will record the patient's last hours. We only hope that more liberals than you might imagine take him up on it. I only hope that the entire staff from MSNBC doesn't read that. Billionaire leftist dies. That's Walter Shorenstein, who was one of the greatest power brokers of far-left politics in America, died. Billionaire leftist dies, Walter Shorenstein, at age 95. Big friend of Bill Clinton, John Kerry, Obama. Friend defends Gore sex assault accuser. That hasn't really gone anywhere, the sex assault thing. Couple tries to sell baby at Walmart for $25. The California couple was on the hunt for bargain shoppers at a Walmart, hoping to sell their six-month-old baby for $25 outside the store. Sounds like a bargain. Welfare recipients withdrew $1.8 million out of casino ATMs. Did you hear that scandal? Recipients of welfare in the state of California are withdrawing money at casino ATMs. You hear how many people are scamming the system? Anyway, look, that's all I can tell you. Liberal activist compares the Border Patrol to the Ku Klux Klan. It's everything's the world, and that's Alice in Wonderland. Community activist Alina Harada compared the Border Patrol to the Ku Klux Klan. So, you know, the social justice activists are all criminals. You understand that. You know who Acorn is. They're criminals. They're gangsters. In a legitimate government, they'd be in prison. They'd be in an orange jumpsuit. Instead, they're on MSNBC. What clip do you have?
When we go into our restaurants and there's Border Patrol sitting there, would you sit next to the Ku Klux Klan if they were sitting in a restaurant with a hood on over their heads? Thank you. Then say that when you see them.
She should be deported, end the story. Deport her. Throw her out of the country. Throw her out. Criminal. Another criminal activist. Throw her out of the country. Get rid of her. 1-800-449-8255. Send her to England. That's where she belongs. Send her to England or Canada. No, actually, she should go to the country she has a sympathy for, Mexico. Let's see how they treat that kind of talk in Mexico. Austin, Texas, Cecilia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, thank you so much. My family came from Cuba in 62. With the clothes on our back, and we're very conservative, and we can't believe what's happening in this country. And I think if the liberals want to see what this country is going to look like in 10 or 15 years, they should go to Mexico City, because that's what's going to happen. That's what's happening in Phoenix, Arizona right now, and that's what's going to happen to the rest of this country. You're so right, and I'm very disheartened by everything.
Well, it's amazing to me that a deranged movie producer named Oliver Stone, probably a very, very sick man in his own head, probably very ill, probably sees therapists, I'm guessing now. Very, very deranged man, has said that Fidel Castro and Chavez are not dictators. But he's not alone in that. Sean Penn, another deranged man, says that Chavez is not a dictator, and anyone who disagrees should be put in jail. He says that on Bill Markowitz's show on HBO. Would you imagine that? He goes on Bill Markowitz's show and says that?
No, they're all perverts. I mean, these people are...
What's wrong with them? How did they get so sick that they can salute a dictator and say they're not dictators and hate America so much? What happens to a deranged man like Sean Penn? How does he get to that point? How does a guy like Oliver... Why is Hollywood filled with such sick people?
No, I'm
I don't have an answer for it. I don't. I would say it's the drugs. I would guess it's drugs. I don't know if that's the only reason. Red diaper dopa baby, I define. How do they get so hateful of a country that gave them so much? I've often sat in wonderment when Hollywood used to produce movies that saluted America, because most of them were the children or immigrants themselves. They saluted America, and look what their children have become, the deranged America haters. Well, anyway, that's an old story. There's nothing new about that. Let's go to the callers. Rob in Wisconsin, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, thanks a lot for everything you do. You know, I've been reading my my new book, The Savage Nation, my daughter, you know, for a couple nights now.
Right.
She likes one about the mugger story, you know, in San Francisco there. But
That's one of my first books. And so what's the question today?
Could you expound on a October surprise that might be they might be planning to stay in power?
Well, it's a very simple now. I thought it would be a strike on Iran. I'm starting to think it'll be amnesty for illegal aliens who will then flood the voting booths and put them back in power. How else are you going to get corrupt dictators in power to stay in power other than giving votes to non-citizens?
Like they did to the Welsh in Great Britain and all that, you know.
We know that Obama disrespects America. We know that he actually has a distemper towards America and its institutions. He sat in a Reverend Wright's church for 20 years and heard nothing but hatred for America for 20 years. So what do you think? He loves America? Remember Michelle Obama? This is the first day I've actually felt proud to be an American when her old man became the president. You remember that little remark?
Yeah. Since that,
they referred her to egg rolling contests. I'll be right back. Savage. I believe that President Obama is not loyal to the United States of America nor to the U.S. Constitution, and I will continue my argument as follows. Obama floated the idea some time ago of creating a national police force, something that this country has not had ever since its creation. We have local police, we have military, we have FBI, we have a National Guard. Why would Obama even have suggested that he needs a police force, a national police force that reports only to him? Would you say that that is loyal to the U.S. Constitution? Well, there was another leader who needed a police force that was loyal only to him, even though the country had a military and the country had local police. That leader was named Adolf Hitler, and he wanted a police force that was 100% loyal only to him, and he created the SS, which was Hitler's private national police force. Why would Obama even suggest that he needs a national police force? Play the soundbite if you think I'm making this up.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
You don't understand what's going on, most of you. You haven't any idea that we have a baby dictator here who would like to become an adult dictator. And how far he can go is up to how much resistance he meets, both in the Senate and in the streets. The fact of the matter is, he would like to go all the way if he could. He has said he is, quote, out to change the United States of America. So he appoints czars. He pushes through bills that are unconstitutional. He had a good friend named Bill Ayers who talked with bombs that he planted. Now, we try to warn you about Jeremiah Wright. We try to warn you about Bill Ayers, but many of you called us extremists. You thought that the man who planted bombs was not an extremist, but you felt those of us who pointed out what they did say and what they did do, that we were the extremists. Why? Because your mind is made of putty, nutty putty. Let's look at the rest of the reasons I say that Obama is not loyal to the Constitution nor patriotic. I'll continue my premise. He appointed czars. Some of them have praised enemy dictators who have killed millions of people like Mao Zedong. He has appointed people into the education department who are promoting sexual practices that are contrary to sane sexual practices, contrary to medical sanity, and contrary to the values of most Americans, whether they be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, or Buddhist. Why is he doing that? Why would he put such a czar into the school system? And so you say, well, Obama may have missed investigating them. Why would you assume that Obama didn't know who these people were? Why would you assume he actually disagrees with them? He could fire them, after all, if he didn't agree with them. And so as I say to you, I believe President Obama is not patriotic. I believe President Obama does not believe in the U.S. Constitution. I believe the president has contempt for American values and traditions. I believe that the president will go all the way to becoming an adult dictator rather than the baby dictator that he is right now, unless you, the people, speak out and you, the people, act out through tea parties and through voting at this time. You must understand the danger we are in. Now, that is my premise, that Barack Hussein Obama has, in fact, lived up to the fears that we had about him at the beginning of this year and going back even into the campaign. We are now, of course, in December of the first year of this man's mini-dictatorship. And as I say, everything I have pointed out confirms my worst fears and suspicions about this man. Before the French Revolution in the 1790s, the people of France were going hungry while the aristocracy, well, did nothing. Well, someone went to the Queen Marie Antoinette, and she was told that the people were starving because they had no bread. And the Queen said, let them eat cake. Today, the American people are starving for the truth. And the government media complex says, let them eat cheesecake. Terrorists are brought from Gitmo to the Midwest of the United States. Obama sends 30,000 troops to Afghanistan. Our soldiers are being maimed and killed. Our treasury is being drained. Our borders are being overrun by illegal aliens. But instead of focusing on that, the news media, under Rupert Murdoch in particular, serves up some cheesecake. He hires Elliot Spitzer's prostitute to write a sex column. He reports on Tiger Woods' latest mistress. Anything but the real news, anything but the real truth. But who is letting the enemy into the country? Who is imprisoning the men who try to keep them out? Who is depleting the lifeblood of our nation to line the pockets of his henchmen? That's something the government media complex doesn't want to talk about. So let the people continue to be starved for the truth. Deny them the serving of justice that they deserve, and let them eat cheesecake. The media doesn't give a darn about whether the United States remains a strong nation or even a nation at all. The media doesn't care if our soldiers are shot and killed. The media doesn't give a rat's behind about whether the people are in charge of this nation drain the treasury and give billions of dollars to their friends and cronies. All the media cares about is airing fluff, frivolity, and filth, the three F's. Anything that will boost their ratings, anything that will titillate, anything that will cause this nation to slide farther and farther into a distracted debauchery. Fluff, frivolity, and filth. The people are starving for the truth, and the government media complex says, let them eat cheese.
You are my special angel sent from up above. The Lord smiled down on me.
In a hell of a week, I got to tell you, you're living through very interesting times. What a week this has been on the Savage Nation. It started with waking up to Meg Whitman. Many of you never heard of her. But Meg Whitman created eBay. She's a billionaire. She's running as a Republican in California for the governorship. And she ran on a platform during the primary of being anti-illegal immigration. The minute she won, Meg Whitman showed her true face, which is the two-face of all politicians, or most. And she did an ad in Spanish where she said she opposes the Arizona immigration law and opposes Prop 187. It's unbelievable to me. So she just threw the election to get to the retread, Jerry Brown. She threw the election to the retread because conservatives will not vote for her. And then McChrystal gets fired, a real warrior, and they replace him with a kind of older, you know, decent general, I suppose, as an armchair general myself. Looking at the two of them, I would take McChrystal over Petraeus. And the Taliban even celebrated the appointment of Petraeus. They laughed at him. Can you believe this? So I called it McChrystalnacht, for those of you who know what Kristallnacht was. And now we wake up to the takeover of the financial industry today by Barney Frank, that prize of humanity, and Chris Dodd, one of the most distinguished of all senators in American history, Chris Dodd, granted $52 million of stimulus money to an Indian gambling casino, and not a peep from the Republicans. Just makes you wonder what they've done with the money. You know, hey, look, when the two parties get along, you know who's getting screwed? It's you. The only mark of a real democracy is vigorous debate and vigorous disagreement between the parties. And when they get along, you know that they're both in on it. So I've said all I want to say today. I mean, it's Friday. Maybe you need, you know, lighten up a bit here. So I'll go in any direction you want. All right, we don't have to be this serious. I don't know. Is there a market for serious? The ratings are up. My ratings went up in San Francisco by 800% since I started. 800%. Not 8, not 80, but 800%. How'd that happen? Well, oh, the Gallup poll says that the conservatives are the majority in America at 42%. Liberals are only 20% of the population, of the votership. Really, you wouldn't know that from the government media complex. They lead you to believe you're the minority. The conservatives are the minority. It's nonsense. We have a dictatorship right now of lies, a dictatorship of lies from top to bottom. And there should be more Tea Party motions, more Tea Party movements. More people joining tea parties until a David appears, a King David, and unifies all the tea parties. It's not going to be easy because as in any with any organizational structure, there's always people vying for the supreme position. It's just human nature. Someone has to arise who has the charisma and the wisdom to unite all of the factions and all of the tea parties and create a true new party, not just a movement. Then we have a chance of taking it back from the oligarchy and from the two-party dictatorship that has ruined America, stolen America, debased America, whichever way you want to put it. I don't know who that David is. It's certainly not Sarah Palin. It's certainly not Mitt Romney. We know that. These are party players. They're Republican apparatchiks. You know, whatever Republicans want, they will do. Doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean that they're not good people, but it means they're not the people that they're not the people you want to run this country, because you're going to get the same thing that you got right now with a different style. That's all. So what would you like to talk about? Let's go to San Diego. Getting a lot of calls on the border today. Barbara in San Diego, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a privilege. Hello?
Go, 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 go. Talk, 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 talk.
Dr. Savage?
Yes, talk. Say something, please.
I want to say thank you. Thank you for being you, for putting up with everything you put up with.
I'm sorry to be so short-tempered and cantankerous. It's just Friday, and I'm exhausted from looking at this nightmare.
It's okay. I wish I could...
All right, thanks for the call. That's all. Next case. Move on. Moveon.me. That's almost sounded like creepy. That was almost like, play Misty for me, that one. I thought the next thing would be a play Misty for me job. It was eerie. It was like a creepo. Like, I feel like after the show, if I go down to a coffee shop, she's going to be there. And she's going to say, "Hi, Dr. Savage. I just called you from San Diego," and I run out. And I go around the corner to a bar, and I'm in the bar having a quick drink. And I turn around, and there she is again. "Hi, Dr. Savage. I just saw you in Starbucks. And this goes on. I mean, that was that like a trick caller? I love that Clint Eastwood movie. I almost feel like renting it. I like the Jaguar and the radio station. Remember that 1970s radio station in Monterey, California? That was a great movie. It never happened to me in my life. I'm not Clint Eastwood. Probably never happened to anyone in their life because it's only a fantasy that you get that. Who would want that anyway? Would you want that? Would you want like a Stepford? What do you call it? What do you call it? Not a Stepford. What do you call that when someone gets fixated? A stalker. A stalker. They don't exist. They exist for the girls. The girls get the stalkers, the crazos. What do you need a stalker for? Stalker. Stalker. I stalk the truth. I'm stalking here. I'm stalking here. I'm stalking the truth here. I'm a talker who's a stalker. So I don't know if I want to do any more politics. It's enough already. I don't. I can feel it's a Friday now. It's time to let go. Let it go. We know what the situation is. We know there's going to be another shock to the system. Every day is another shock from Obama. That's how they function. They numb you. By numbing you with shocks, one after the other, eventually become so numb you don't know what he's doing. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. I can see it from a mile away. So can we do something other than that? Is there something to talk about other than politics? Not really. Let's see. My mother, may she rest in peace, said don't talk about politics or religion. And it turns out that she was wrong because I made my living talking and writing about politics and religion. How did that? Why weren't you allowed to talk about politics and religion? Because it was very, very uncomfortable. People don't, you know, you go to a corporate meeting today. The people could be intelligent. They will not talk about anything but sports. I know people who go to high-powered corporate meetings. They only talk about the World Cup and the shmup, the world shmup. I go into places, I see people glued to a television set. I don't personally understand it. I don't understand it. The world I'm living in, I don't understand how grown-ups can look at idiots blowing horns in a stand over men kicking a ball. Now, having said that, I understand the skill it takes. But I still don't have any, it has no interest for me. And I dread when someone is going to say to me, let's say they don't know me, I'm sitting in a bar, which happens once or twice a week. And I'm afraid someone will say to me, hey, did you see what happened? Did Bulgaria beat Slabovia? I don't know what to say to them without insulting them. I think I say things like, well, I'm not a sports fan myself. I'm afraid that they'll run me out of the bar with it. You know, people are so obsessed with it. We're becoming like a third world nation. You know how in the third world they get so worked up over sports? We're no different. Same thing. And I don't know whether it's a product of a sense of knowledge that it's futile to even fight with the corrupt political system and that there's a certain wisdom in it or absolute and total abject stupidity. I'm not sure. Probably a mixture of a few things. Nothing is absolutely one thing or the other. But here it is, a beautiful Friday. It's Technicolor out there. Technicolor Friday, a heat wave on the East Coast. I got my fog. It's all I care about. Aren't you jealous that I live in San Francisco? That when I leave the studio tonight, I have to wear a scarf and an overcoat and a hat. I absolutely love it. I love it. I can't stand the heat. I hate it. I have a house in Florida. I never go to it. It's frightening. It sits there air conditioning itself. Don't tell Al Gore. Because otherwise everything rots if you don't leave the air conditioning on. The whole house rots. But I don't go there. I can't take the heat. Florida is a beautiful state. The December, January, February, and March. Gorgeous. And then unless you're a lizard, you can't live there. You have to be part lizard. You have to look like you were born between a human and a lizard, like some of the people who, well, let's let it go with that. There is a person who I'm sure is half lizard, half man. He's from Louisiana. What's his name? I define. Carville looks like half lizard, half man to me. Doesn't he look like there was like a crossbreeding between a lizard and man? Anyway, we've made all the jokes that we're going to make today. So you have any questions for me? We just do questions instead of answers, instead of just monologue, monologue, monologue. I'm not doing religion. When you hear me reach for the Bible, you know it's the end of the road already. No, I'm no Bible, no religion. You know, yesterday I read the Bible a lot, and I didn't, it was like groping. I had no more, I didn't want to do politics anymore, so I read the Bible. And a funny thing happens, it's funny, like when I read the Bible, I get more scared of like God. So even my, it's like a feedback mechanism. It's like you read the Bible and you get scared, you read that stuff again, it's like, oh, you start to act a little better. It didn't last too long, a few hours, then it wore off. Because that's why the religious pray six times a day, because they know man is no good. They know that if left to his own devices with no one around, he'll do the worst things possible. So that's where the congregation comes in, because they keep you from going off the rails. And you pray six times a day. It's smart in a way. It keeps you on the beam. This is not for me, but okay, works for some. I don't need it. You need it. Larry David needs it. He needs to pray six times a day for forgiveness for what he did to the world. Okay? Andy Mitchell needs to pray six times a day for what she did to the world. Her husband, the Federal Reserve Chairman, Alan Greenspan, he needs to pray six times a day and give alms for what he's done to America. Not me. I don't need to do it. You do. I remember when, like, Valentine's Day would come around, or like Mother's Day, people would say to my father, may rest in peace, aren't you getting your wife flowers or anything? He says, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I grew up with a very cynical family. I kind of liked the answer. I kind of liked the attitude, because all the other men would like get like chocolates for their wives. They said to my father, he was old fashioned. Aren't you going to get her like flowers? No, he says, why should I? I didn't do anything wrong. I thought it was a very smart answer. I like that. It like lets you off the hook. He was straight up. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. Work, that's all. Loved his dog, loved his pot roast, loved his cigarettes, loved to read the papers, watch television, that's it. You really think there's a next world? I don't want to go there again. I'm sorry, it's Friday. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not interested. Don't talk to me about the next world. I'm worried about this world. Is there a next world? I don't know. What if there really is a next world? You want this again? Do you really want to go through this all over again, over and over again, like the Buddhist wheel, around and around and around, over and over again, until you get it right? And what does getting it right mean? Who do you have to be to get it right? Who's an example in your mind of someone who got it right and is going to evolve out of the human form? And when you do evolve out of the human form, as is said in some religions, what do you become? What do you evolve into, a cloud? What do you become, a piece of tofu? I mean, what do you become? I don't know. Oh, I my mind just jumped to Botox for some reason. I don't know why. I was thinking about God and eternity. I thought of Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi for some reason, and Botox. And you know those fixed faces are frightening. Those masks of the fixed face, of the fixed smile. You know, a study came out which has proven that not only does Botox freeze the facial expression, as you can see in Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi, but it also freezes emotions. Now, this was interesting. I read the study by a reputable group of scientists. I don't recall who they were. I had it posted the other day. And they found out that, okay, first of all, Botox is botulinum toxin. And what it does is it actually paralyzes the facial nerves. That's number one. I believe it also paralyzes the emotions in many other ways, which explains how they can do such horrible things to the country and not even understand it. They become almost sociopaths and not feeling what they're doing. But let's stick to what the scientists discovered, that the face gets frozen with Botox, but so do the emotions. And their explanation is as follows, that the ability to feel something is related to the expression of the face. So, you know, the old fresh and fake it till you make it, so that you smile until you feel good. They actually have found that if a person forces themselves to smile, 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 it has a feedback mechanism inside the human who is smiling, and they actually start to feel better. Whereas if you frown, 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 you feel worse. And they found that when the face is frozen in a fixed expression, as in the case of the two wonderful ladies that I just mentioned, they are unable to feel emotions, they say, because there's no facial gesturing or grimacing, whichever it may be, and there is thus no feedback to the organism itself. I thought it was utterly fascinating, which brings me to the next memory related to this, which is not related at all. I remember one of the most profound books I ever read was called The Expression of the Emotions in Man and Other Animals by Charles Darwin, written in the 1870s, I believe. If I don't remember, it was given to me when I was like 20 years old. The Expression of the Emotions in Man and Other Animals. And Darwin showed dogs. You got to see this book. It's an amazing book. He shows dogs' faces and the expressions and explains what the expressions mean. He was one of the first people to understand that dogs really do have expressions. And how scientists who experiment on animals, well, A, are permitted to do it is one thing. Don't get me started. I lost a fellowship when I was very young because I wouldn't kill even lab rats. by the way. You don't know the old conservative mean. No, it's the liberals who are killing lab rats, not me. I was thrown out of graduate school because I refused to kill lab animals, incidentally. You don't know that about me. I never talk about some of these things because I don't feel it's necessary. So it's just that I know who I am, not that you know who I am. I don't care about the lies in Wikipedia. It doesn't matter to me. I know who I am. I don't care what the leftist liars say about me, the George Soros-funded groups. Anyway, you look at, they kill animals. You know, I don't know of an animal that doesn't have emotions. Last night I was sitting in a Chinese restaurant, and next to me was a fish tank. I had a table right next to an incredible saltwater aquarium. One of the most beautiful saltwater aquariums. I'm eating, and I'm looking at sea anemones waving at me and fish swimming by my head. And one little, like, yellow-like angelfish kept coming by, I swear to God, and kept looking at the table like he wanted me to feed him like a dog. So I said, ah, come on. So I'm looking at the thing, and this one was the smartest fish in the tank. The sea anemones are just, you know, white, waving, trying to pick up whatever grits flying around in the water. And this little yellow fish is zipping around and staring at me. But there was no way to feed him, of course, not like a dog. I mean, I overfeed my dog because I'm a guilty person with animals. You know, I always overfeed my dogs. I don't know what it is. I could get diseases from the food, but I couldn't feed the fish. But I'm sure he was looking at me. And the thought occurred to me for the nth time that all animals have emotions, that all animals feel, that all animals know, I mean, not to the same degree that we do. We're just a different variety of animal. Oh, I know, and all of them. Please don't get into the, please don't get into the evolution now. Please, I don't want to hear the Bible thumping. But the point is, let's put evolution aside. All animals have feelings. All animals have a knowledge of survival, or they wouldn't be alive for 1 second. How do you explain what they do? From camouflage to the way they hunt. They're very clever, or they wouldn't live at all. So therefore, they know when they're about to be turned into food, right? That's neither here nor there, but I'll be back.
Fateful night, the car was stalled upon the railroad track. I pulled you out and we.
And you turn the song off. It's so depressing. My God, why would you pick that? How about something faster? You know. All right, let's take the callers on the Savage Nation. You know, it's late in the day. I don't know what people are doing. Look at this, you know, look at the time of day it is. People are on the way to dinner, going home. They don't want to hear the thinking sleeps tonight. Homeland Security. All right, turn it off already. Not okay. Homeland Security pushes back against amnesty reports. Big Sis denies any plans to grant blanket amnesty to entire illegal immigrant population following claims that the White House is holding behind-the-scenes talks to craft a game plan for mass legalization. You believe a word that Big Sis says? The woman who's failed to protect us from every attempted terrorist attack that you know of? You believe a word that that incompetent ex-governor says? A woman who left her own borders open? Petraeus ready to loosen war rules. He wants to make it easier for U.S. troops to engage in combat with the enemy. Well, that would be nice. You mean they could actually fire a gun? Wow. Wow, wow. The U.S. military able to fire a gun? Let's see if that passes the Kennedy School of Government's protocols. Let's see if the military is permitted to fire a gun. They have to run it through the dope smokers in the White House on skateboards, you know, racing down West Wing. Ask them what they think about it. Ah, the whole thing's upside down. We're not at war. We're Hessians for the Saudi Arabians to protect their oil fields.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Savage name. Turn it off. I don't like this song at all. Welcome to the program. I didn't pick it. I don't like it. I'm going to play only things I like because there's memories. That's all. Most people don't like this music anyway to begin with. It's antiquated, old. It's like a 55 Buick Roadmaster. I mean, who would drive a rusty Buick Roadmaster? Nobody. Well, if it's restored, it's another story. Now, look, I've done it already. I'm not going to do it. I need to breeze through this hour. I don't want to give myself a migraine. So let's play it. Let me pick a rock and roll tune. Can we talk about anything except politics? Unless there's a great caller. Unless there's some great callers. I don't know. Let's clean the board off here and start all over again. You know, I don't know if I want to do politics now. I want to go into something else. Pig's feet, tripa, whatever. I can't eat tripa. I can't eat it. The idea of eating the guts of another animal, I mean, I can't do it. I told you I did. It's not alien to my culture. My mother ate brains. She ate intestine. I puked when I looked at that stuff. But all right, she ate it. What are you going to do? She lived to 88, so she must have known what she was doing. God bless her. Who could eat brains? I don't get it. Not only that, I mean, it turns out that, you know, you look at all these organ meats you talk about from a point of view of health. According to our hysteria about cholesterol, they're no-nos because you can't eat liver. High cholesterol, we know that. Even though it's fabulously rich in iron and other minerals that we all need, which explains why many of us are deficient in these nutrients, because we've given up some of the most important parts of the animal, like the liver. You should have liver once in a while, by the way. Forget your Lipitor and your insanity. Okay, have a piece of liver every once in a while. You'll find out that you have more energy than you've had in years. The iron that would run through your system, you finally feel like a man again. You wouldn't need Viagra and you wouldn't need the Lipitor. You'd feel like a human being again with something between your ears. I was going to say something else, but it's a family show. So I wouldn't say go to the brains department. That is, the brains are the most cholesterol-rich organ of the cow. And secondly, you can get Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease from eating uncooked brains. That's something that I don't want to go into, but it's related to the Lou Gehrig's disease, so to speak. That was a part of my PhD dissertation. You don't want to mess around with uncooked brains. We have enough of them in Washington. Not funny. Okay, throwaway line, whatever. Now I want to just drift. I want to cruise through the hour. I want to be like a manatee in the Intracoastal. I want to be like a pelican flying over Boca Raton in a soft wind. I want to be like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose. You want me to just do word jazz? I'll do word jazz. I just gave you three pieces of word jazz. I could play a tune to those three couplets, couldn't I? Is that like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose? That's a nice image, right? It's almost a maiku. That's also funny, that for those of you who know what I just said. Maiku as opposed to haiku. You didn't catch that one? Okay. That was a maiku. Bluebird on Al Jolson's nose, manatee in the Intracoastal. You ever see those pelicans flying over that strip of land in Florida? It's astounding. The pelican is one of my favorite seabirds. They're allegedly they're kind of like green dinosaurs that adapted to the times over millions of years. Now, they're once pterodactyls, and they figured out, okay, that game is over. All right, let's re-engineer ourselves. That should take about 10,000 years. Cut down on the legs, cut down on the body. You don't need all that girth. We're going into a new age. It's pretty bad out there. Meteor hit the earth. Less to eat. So shrink it up, girls. We're going to lose some weight. We're no longer going to be pterodactyls. We're going to be pelicans. That thing about penguins really gets to me. Holding the egg, the father holds the egg, and the mother goes swimming. My God. I'd like to give to a pelican society. Is there a pelican saving group or something? Whale killers, I'd like to personally put on a harpoon myself. I think that we have to stop the whale murderers. I really mean that. It's heartbreaking to let the Japanese and the Norwegians kill those animals. Never mind the clubbing up there by the drunks in Alaska. Yeah, everything is ethnic. The ethnic excuse to beat them to death with a club. So, oh, I'm sorry, it's your ethnic right to slaughter a whale. Pardon me. Oh, you're different than everybody else on the world today. Go club seals to death because it's in your culture. Go ahead. Anyone says anything, you're a racist white male. Go beat a seal to death, a little white seal pup with a club. Call yourself a man. Go ahead. Vote for a Democrat. I thought about something today in bed before I got up. I said, you know, the other animals feel. They can be sensitive. They have emotions. They can love. not perhaps in the same way a human can love, but I'm not so sure of that. In other words, I think my dog loves more purely than a human ever did. If I go out for 10 minutes, he jumps like crazy. He doesn't know it's 10 minutes or 10 years. Crazy, jumping, loving. You know, it's something to behold. It's almost painful in a way to see an animal so attached to you. So, okay, love, they say, is a divine human emotion, and I'm sure it is. But it's not unique to the human animal, okay? It's also seen in the animal world as well. An ape can love, a dog can love, etc. I'm sure many other animals that you get to know can love you. But what does the human being do that lower animals, so to speak, cannot do? Speak, articulate language, and write. And so the thing that distinguishes man from other animals is his use of language, my friends. Think about it. So when we have a society that is so debased by the media, where a rap song is held up to the level of a rhapsody, where Beethoven and a gangbanger are held up in the same level, you understand that we're descending, we're not ascending. You understand that we're going backwards, not forwards. Do you understand why when a person sits and text messages or emails all day long, they're actually diminishing their IQ? You understand what I'm saying? You're actually devolving as a creature. You're devolving. You are diminishing your capacity to read and to write, let alone to speak. You don't speak on these devices, but you can read and you can write. So when you reduce your writing to hieroglyphics without punctuation, without thinking about tenses, you're actually going back in time, which is why it's a very, very poor prognosis for the future of Western civilization.
Savage.
Nui ko'u wa'a. That means my canoe is big. Nui ko'u wa'a. Nui kawa'o ko'u makuakane. That means my father's canoe is big. Lohi kawa'a o keoni. That means John's canoe is slow. I like that. My father's canoe is big and my canoe is big. Nui ko'u wa'a. I once lived on Rolling Sweet Potato Hill in Honolulu. I love the language. People think it's a primitive language. It's anything but. I'm no expert, but I don't think you know how many words there are in the Hawaiian language itself. You know, you laugh about it with the ukulele. You know how many words? 26,000, did I say before? 26,000 Hawaiian entries in the Pukui and Elbert Dictionary. Amazing. 26,000 Hawaiian entries in the Pukui Dictionary. That's pretty amazing. And yet, if you look at the average text message today, or let us say the entire galaxy of words used in text messaging, and even in America, a highly advanced nation, so to speak, you think that we're using 26,000 words? You think we're using 2,600 words in the entire vocabulary of text messaging? You think we're using 260 different words? It's very minimal. And what I'm saying is we're devolving. That's what I'm trying to make that point. You say, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just telling you what's going on. That's how a man like Obama, the diminished president, can diminish the presidency like this. Because of text messaging and emailing. People didn't even know what he was. They confused him with an actual diplomat, a genius. 1-800-449-8255, New York City. WOR. Tom, welcome to the program.
Michael Savage, the Archangel of America, we all love you because you always work your hardest, and we know that you'll never become a jihadist.
How long did it take you to come up with that little couplet?
I've held it aside for a while, Michael. You're a tough man.
That is good. Come on, Tom. We know you work your hardest, and we know you'll never become a jihadist. That's beautiful. And is that still legal to say in America? Because Obama just went to the country of jihad and didn't mention the word. He didn't even say the word terrorism.
You're fighting for us, Michael. You're keeping that speech legal.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Tom. Thanks for that very, very much. Yeah, he didn't say the word terrorism or terrorist once. I guess he said anger. Oh, Lord. God sees the truth but waits. Why is he waiting so long? Wish he'd come down already and straighten it all out. What if God just showed up and said, all right, look, I've had enough of this. I've waited long enough. You guys don't know what you're doing now. Shut up, everybody. Here's what's going on. Okay, Connecticut, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, your word paintings, as I like to call them, when you're free thinking, are fantastic. I'm a painter. I'm a visual artist. And I would call your word skills as finely crafted abstract art. I'm a realist. I can't do abstract art. I do everything realistically. When you speak from the heart the way you talk, I get visions in my head, and I could paint pictures from that.
You mean like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose?
Absolutely. Listen to a little Coltrane, and I could see where Jackson Pollock, could throw paint around and get into it because...
But you called because you disagree with me on evolution, though. Although we agree in principle, you disagree with me on the evolutionary statement that the pelicans were once pterodactyls, I believe.
Actually, my point was I wasn't disagreeing, but I was saying it's a little more, you could expand on that because some species didn't change. Crocodiles, turtles, there's a couple others that actually...
I want to cut to the chase because we've had this discussion before, and since you're a friendly caller, I'm going to say it again. When God, it says God created the earth in 7 days and seven nights. It was explained on this show by a religious scholar that a day to God is not a day to man. That a day could be 10 million years, and it could mean 70 million years. So that's just something, you can look into. Well, let me take a move in another direction, just for 1 minute, while you're calling on these incendiary topics. And they are incendiary. Make no mistake about it. I didn't make any of them up. They're real. Now, it could be the way I'm looking at them is incendiary, because the way you're used to looking at them is twisted. See, everything you look at is through the looking glass. It's upside down like Alice in Wonderland. Everything you see is backwards. I'm one of the few people left in the world who could actually see things forwards. I come from another time and another age. I have a great education. And so therefore I see things as they are. Your mind is warped. Your optic chiasma is backwards. Everything to you is upside down. So old Uncle Mike here is going to straighten you out every day here on the local station. Let me give you some reality. Give you a reality lesson. Today, before the show, I went aboard an old sailing vessel, a gorgeous all-wood 1927 wooden ketch. It's the first motor sailor ever built. So you figure the plans were made in 1925. It was built in 27, just before the Wall Street crash. The boat is in the shape of a ship model. There is not the captain is a really nice guy. I got to know him over the last few weeks down in the yacht harbor. And he finally gave me, he says, okay, come aboard. I said, what kind of engine do you have? He says, well, I have a 1947 Detroit diesel. I said, unbelievable. I said, can I see it? He said, come aboard. So you have to squeeze into the engine room through a hatch. He said to me, before you go down below, he said, it's not like any engine room you've ever seen. I go below. I look at the engine. It's like an engine you could eat off. There's not a drop of oil. And the captain says to me, the owner doesn't want so much as a drop of oil on it. So it's kept perfectly, right? And he shows me a berth, a single berth, along one of the hull walls. And he smilingly said, that's where the original captain slept. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no, those were the quarters for the original captain of this vessel. I said, well, 1927. I said, that's what captains did. They slept next to the engine. I said, can you imagine what people are used to and what they demand today in order to have a job, as opposed to what people were willing to accept when they needed a job? When the government didn't provide them with everything, they had to take any job they could get. But remember, a captain of a ship then and now is a very skilled position. But even a skilled captain had to sleep down below with the engine. He didn't sleep anywhere else. And it was a different age. This was before outcome-based captaining. This was before pilots were told they could take Prozac. And if they crashed a plane, so what? I guess they're victims along with the people who they crashed the plane with. This is before universities were turned into basically nurseries for grown-up drug addicts, where the children go to fornicate and get high, and they're all given a passing degree. And then they come out, and they can't get a job, and they scream, jobs not this, jobs not that. They think that you owe them a job to run the company. The first day out, they can't read, they can't add, they can't write, but they want to be the CEO of the company, and they know that the owner of the company is a pig. The man they went to the job for is already the pig. They wouldn't know how to sell a hot dog. If you gave them a hot dog stand in Manhattan
and said you have to show up every day at 4 a.m. and get the stand and put the hot dogs in and turn the water on and get the mustard and make sure it's not tomaine and make sure that the sauerkraut is heated and push it down 10 blocks like some immigrants do. They would cry and crawl up in a ball and cry and call their college advisor to find out why they have to work so hard in such an evil fascist society. And so there's the America. There's one little fingernail of America, one little snapshot of what's happened from the captain sleeping on a berth in the engine room to college graduates who can't read or write. All they know is that America is a racist nation. That's a result of 30 years of communist socialist propaganda. Now let's play a little rock and roll.
Rocks in the treetop all day long, hopping and a popping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street look to where the robin go tweet.
Tonight I'm going to have spaghetti, and tomorrow I'm going to have spaghetti. You know, the British used to eat cold spaghetti for breakfast. I used to laugh at it when I was young. You know, there's a certain wisdom to it. I never understood the British diet. I think it led to my band being banned in Britain by criticizing their cuisine. I'm not quite sure what did it. It could have been that they were so angry that I talked about their dental work and their cuisine for years that they decided to ban me and they, you know, drummed up a case against
me.
I'll be right back.
Don't seem to matter very much anymore.
Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I was on my bicycle and I went into a local department store to look for some exercise clothes, which nobody sells anymore. I have no idea why. Nordstrom doesn't, Macy's doesn't. Nobody sells them anymore. And as I was leaving, a young man dashed out to follow me and he said, "I just wanted to thank you for what you've done for the U.S. Marines." Turned around and looked at him. I saw a perfectly fit young white male. Man looked like he could be take on anybody in a cage fight. Nicest guy in the world. And I said to him, "How do you know about that?" He said, "I'm a U.S. Marine just back. I'm a helicopter pilot. I'll let it go at that." And he said, "We really love you for what you've done for the Marines." I said, "You know what I did for Colonel Chesani?" He said, "Yes, we do. We all do." I said, "Well, thank you. You're the real heroes. And someone's got to stand up for you." And I told him why I thought George Bush did not lift the case against Colonel Chesani and the other Marines who Bush persecuted. I said, the reason Bush persecuted the U.S. Marines with innumerable court-martials, in my opinion, was to make certain that you guys who are trained to defend us don't do a good job at it. To make certain that some knucklehead in Washington, D.C. decides what goes on the ground in the battlefield itself. They wanted to take away command and control from the field and send it back to some moron in Washington, D.C. All I can say is this young man who was actually there flying helicopters shook his head and he said, "Dr. Savage, we all love you in the U.S. Marines." I want to say, well, it's a mutual love. That's all I can say. So what would you like to talk about? I mean, what is it you're going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say that we don't already know? That Obama's busting out one of America's great companies like a sporting goods store in The Sopranos? You think there's going to be anything left at the end of the day? Well, it's been tried before. Another socialist dictator tried to make a car, and we'll be telling you about that, from the actual man who ran the car company for the dictator. It's called What I Learned as a Car Czar. It's an article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal and is written by the man who actually ran the car industry for the Romanian dictator who decided he wanted to have a car industry. This man ran it, and he said, "In the land of the blind, a one-eyed man is king. This is the land of the blind, but many of you don't even know you're blind. Many of you are deaf, dumb, and blind, and you have no idea that you're deaf, dumb, and blind, because you've been blindsided by your government media complex." Talking about GM, Korea, cars, my case in England, George Orwell, Winston Churchill, you name it. Oh, yes, and one other thing. Living well is the best revenge. Yeah, England has become the nanny state that Winston Churchill warned them about, with cameras on every street corner that could see into a person's you-know-what, with speech codes, with hate codes. And we're not too far behind with our socialist Labor Party under Barack Hussein Obama, which is why I'm eating more meat than I've eaten in a long time. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, for one, living well is the best revenge, and I realize I'm not going to live forever. Since I've been on a restricted diet for 30, 35 years, high doses of vitamin C, et cetera, and low-fat diet, and I've been, you know, healthy as a result, I decided now is the time to go back to what I was raised on. So let me give you an example. Last night, I had a bolognese sauce, which is a meat sauce, at Aliotto's. It was the best meat sauce I've ever had in my life. Maybe it's because I don't eat a lot of meat. I don't know. I just sitting there, the fish, da-da-da. The fish look good, but I've had so much fish I could swim. I just said, you know what, let me have the bolognese sauce on ziti. And it was just, you know, it was like perfect. So today, I said, oh, I was guilty. Because it tasted so good. I slept like a baby. Today for lunch, I got a sausage and pepper sandwich and french fries. I'm eating like a truck driver who doesn't know any better. I mean, this is the kind of food that I grew up on. Who knew? Who knew that sausage and pepper sandwiches would kill a man after a number of years? Who knew that, you know, meats, heavy meats? I didn't know any of that. As I, you know, got older and went to college, I tried to figure out why my father died young. And, you know, we picked up what was learned, and you learn to modify your diet, exercise, vitamins, and whatnot. And it works. I mean, it's not a mystery anymore. Heart disease is pretty much nailed down. You can't control the genetics of it, but you can control the environmental factors to a large degree, unless you're one of the rare few that can't. And I'm afraid that eventually sausage and pepper sandwiches and meat sauce will be outlawed under this new nanny state of Obama's. After all, I mean, he's a man who works out, and he wants everyone to look good and be trim and feel good and be right. And he wants everybody to be, you know, exercise and be in good shape. It's all very noble, but soon the state will impose it upon you. So as I say, I think you better eat as much bolognese sauce and sausage and peppers and meatball sandwiches as you can before Obama nationalizes the meat industry. Because after all, we've been reading for years that cows cause global warming, climate change. It causes something. Certainly causes cow flop. They change it every few months now. Because apparently we're in a global cooling phase, so we've been warning you for years. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I don't know if I really want to talk about politics anymore. I am so bored about all of this. So it's when I run into the occasional U.S. Marine that I know why I fight. It's when I run in looking into the eyes of the young men who are actually out in the field of combat that I see the face of America. It's not in the face of the deviant. It's not in the face of the silent vermin who sit and listen to the show and distort my words. They're not the Americans that I fight for. They're not even Americans. They're some kind of sub-creature, some kind of worm that has wormed its way into the apple of America. Achoo, pollen at its worst in many years, in many areas. I can't believe this. Says we're going to have the worst pollen season of all. We have it now, blah, 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 from Florida to Texas. Top 10 trending topics on Twitter in several cities is pollen allergy. The worst they've seen in years in many areas. This I can't believe. It says this year is especially bad in the Southeast, weather experts say, likely due to winter's unseasonably cold weather. I was wondering why it was bad in Florida. I wasn't supposed to have allergies on the ocean. I had them. I didn't complain because everybody would have gotten depressed. Of course, this is a little put out a little bit by the drug peddlers, too. They say, take 5-year-old Sam Wilson of St. Petersburg. His mom today, everything's a mom, his mom, gives him Claritin in the morning, Nasonex and Benadryl at night, and he receives 4 allergy shots every week. By 13, the kid will be a stone junkie, in my opinion. What are you doping the kid up with drugs like this at 5 years old? Because the schmuck bombers just told you? And the so-called pediatrician? I could say something about pediatricians that'll get me in trouble, so I won't. Pediatrician. So pollen is now an issue? What are you going to do about it? Move to the ice floes. Move on to a submarine. What are you going to do with allergies? Live with them. You know, I thought about allergies. Why would a human being have allergies? I try to think back on this ancestrally, like I try to project. Did my ancient ancestors, and not two generations ago in Minsk, did my distant ancestors have allergies? I can't imagine, like, wherever they were from. I don't know where they were from. How do I know? But did they have allergies? Why would God invent, like, a species? Or why would a species evolve, whichever way you want to look at it, that would have allergies? It's because we moved around from our original locale, number one. In other words, I don't belong here. I'm not like, I shouldn't be living in America. Wherever they're from, I should figure out where it is and go back there. That'll make the libs happy. But the problem is we can't figure that out too easily. And then, of course, that won't help anyway, because so many plants have been introduced to the original area, to the area, that the new antigens are there, so it wouldn't work. So you may as well suffer where you are is what it comes down to. Stop looking for relief. That's why I'm drawn to boats. I know that, because I get relief on the boats. I'm like a different person out at sea. Captain Mike, when he goes out, just a beautiful different world. I guess pilots are that way. Pilots are that way for sure. You see them up in a jet there flying around there. You know, pilots don't make a lot of money. Sad. Got guys out here who like wash boats. They want $35 an hour in San Francisco. Can you imagine labor costs, what they are, how absurd they are? $35 an hour to rinse a boat down. A pilot, some of them make $50 an hour to fly Gulf Streams. I was shocked to find that out. A pilot flying a private jet makes $50 an hour, some of them. Did you know that? Yeah, I'm relaxing, if you don't mind. I'm taking sort of a busman's holiday. I'll work politics in, all right?
Savage.
The socialist administration is having other effects upon me. I'm trying to relax in different ways, ways I haven't relaxed in years. So I went fishing yesterday for the first time in ages. I mean, I swear to God, I went into a bait and tackle store to buy a fishing rod because the halibut are running here in San Francisco Bay. And I figured out, you know, I got a 20-foot boat that I like, a little cabin on it, and I want to go out. I see these guys trolling for fish. So I figured, you know, let me try it. So I go into this bait shop. Nicest guy in the world is in the bait shop. So I said, all right, here's a rod, $338. Before it was through, it was like $400. I said, you know, he was a nice guy. I said to him, you think of how many halibut dinners I could buy for this. He said, I know. So I bought the rod, and he said, well, what are you fishing for? I said, halibut. All right. He says, well, you need this kind of, you want live bait, and you want, give me a lure. I remember lures from when I was a kid. So he sells me this beautiful lure. You want a 1 pound or a 2 pound sinker? I don't know. I said, I don't know. He said, well, try a 1 pound, then take it. So to make a long story short, he hooks it up for me, put it in the car, go down to the boat, go out on the water, establish the fishing rod into that sprocket that they hold that they have for it on the back of the boat. I do have a fishing license. Another thing, the fishing license was $13 for a day. The government bureaucrats, these petty punks, these thieves who do nothing but push papers, get $13 for a single fishing license for a single day. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's not that I'm a poor man, but I couldn't believe it. A man can't throw a rod in the water and catch a fish without some communist taking a piece of his hide before he even catches a fish? That's the world I live in. I didn't catch anything, I must tell you. In fact, I lost the hook, the line, and the sinker. But that's a whole other story. But all right, look, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. Because dragging a set of lures along the bottom of a sandy bay has its own risk. I mean, the lures can catch, and apparently mine caught on something, and I had to cut the line the first day I was out fishing. Well, the funny part is I haven't fished in over 50 years. The last I went fishing was when I was a little kid. People didn't even know. I was an avid fisherman in rivers up in upstate New York. I loved it. We fished for trout. I even caught a number of catfish. I don't know what we did with them. I think we threw them back in. I used to love fishing, but you get older, you go on to other things. But anyway, I'm just trying to find new ways to, pass a few hours and get my mind off the news and the evil government that has emerged in the United States of America. And I will call it evil. I am so sick and tired of hearing that Obama's a nice man with a big heart. I am so tired of the propaganda. I am so sick and tired of hearing how benevolent he is. I believe the man is a naked dictator. And I believe that every day my fears are coming true. And if you don't believe it, it's because you're an ignorant individual who doesn't know history. So what would you like to talk about? Fishing, meatballs, Obama, discrimination? Any topic is fair game. Luger, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I love your show. I started to realize, just like you, I'm getting sick and tired of being worn out by all the yucky crap happening to freedom. And when I heard you talking about it today, I thought, you know, I really want to call Michael and just tell him, you know what, I think this is like a ploy to just drag us down and tire us out. And eventually a lot of people will just give up.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That's correct. That's right. And the propaganda has never been greater than right now. This glorification of this unknown social worker from Chicago has reached a fever pitch. They've already turned, I mean, it's incomprehensible that they're turning this man into such a genius. The man has never held a job in his life. My head is foggy today. I can't focus. I don't know what it is, a combination of events. So I figured, you know, when I get in these moods where my head feels like there's cotton in it, and I'm really not that focused because I am so bored with politics that I could literally stop talking. I could take a vow of silence.
If I were a rich man.
No, yeah.
All day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man.
All right, turn it off already. $13 fishing license. I can't believe that these bums, these faceless, useless, state-working bums who spend about 12 minutes a day doing something and the rest of the day looking at internet pornography or trading stocks on their computer have the nerve to charge $13 for a single day's fishing in San Francisco Bay. How could an average man take this? How could a poor man, go out and, what if he had to go out and catch a fish for a living? Who ever heard of a country like this, that you have to buy a fishing license? Now, where does that money go? Where does that $13 go? Tell me why the state needs that $13, so they can pay for the health care of illegal aliens? Maybe it was the sausage and peppers that clouded my brain. There's a lot of truth to the light diet and focus, but I'm tired of being focused. Because when I grew up, I ate steak and French fries every night till I left my mother's house. Every night, meat for breakfast, meat for lunch, meat for dinner. If there was any truth to the fact that it was cholesterol alone, I would have been dead at 12. It's not just that. You know, don't be obsessed with this cholesterol that your doctors have sold you on. Utter rubbish. All diseases are multifactorial, including heart disease. We know genetics are one component to a greater or lesser extent, depending upon the individual. We know the environment is the largest component outside of genetics. And then I keep telling you that there's a mysterious component to all illnesses, the unknown. It's not all nailed down. When I was in graduate school, my doctoral committee was made up of very, very smart men. And one of them was a medical doctor as well as a PhD who said to me that he's done many an autopsy where the victim was young and their arteries were completely clear and they died of a heart attack. I said, thank you very much. I'm going out to the Avenue to have a drink after work. I mean, you know, there's a certain point, which is, you know, stop it already. Stop obsessing that you control your own mortality to the nth degree, because you don't. I have a pattern. It's a struggle sometimes, but truthfully, by the time I get on the air, I actually love it, and I sail through the hours on the radio, and it gives me great relief to be able to be doing something very useful, pointing out the hateful administration that we have. And I was saying, do people still say to a little child, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because when I was a kid, that was a major league question. The uncles, the father's friends, they leaned down. I couldn't have been four. What do you want to be when you grow up? They start with me when I was three. The work ethic has to be, you know, instilled in a child. It doesn't come out of the air. It doesn't come by spontaneous combustion, so to speak. You don't get it out of the air. A child has to be taught that work is beautiful, that work is essential, that work is the essence of living. Now, if you are in La Greek, where leisure is the essence of living, then we have nothing to talk about. The Greek society is very interesting. I mean, it's probably part of my background. But the Hellenists were fundamentally leisure-oriented. They were oriented towards beauty. There's nothing wrong with leisure or beauty. I understand that. But as a be-all and an end-all of existence, it's not enough for me. As a side job, fine. I mean, you can be a worker and still love beauty. You can pursue beauty. You can see beauty. You can steep yourself in beautiful music and beautiful art and beautiful poetry and beautiful flowers, if you wish, as I do. But the fact of the matter is to devote your whole life to beauty is to me, already on the other side of the coin. So let me get back to the kids. So they say to a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? So kids start out with, I want to be an astronaut. There was a time that a kid would say that. Or I want to be a baseball star. I want to be like, pick your favorite baseball star. Or I want to be like a football star, whoever. Now, I don't know what kids would say today, but you look at the role models that the vermin in the media hold up every day, each and every day. Who are the role models for our children today? It's one drug addict, one deviant, one anti-American slimeball after another. I don't even know who a kid holds up as a role model anymore. But I really don't think that there was a kid somewhere in Indonesia, you know, 40-odd years ago who said, when I grow up, I want to be the first Leninist president of the United States of America. I don't really believe that. People would say, I want to be the president of the United States of America. That I understand. I mean, I never said that. I never thought that that was possible. Savage.